Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Megillah Daf Chav Zayin, and we begin at the third line from the top of the Amud. In yesterday's Daf, we concluded with a discussion regarding equating a Beis HaKnesses to a Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara concludes that the Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Levi, that a Beis HaKnesses can be turned into a Beis HaMedrash. You can sell a Beis HaKnesses to buy a Beis HaMedrash. You can turn a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash. The reason is because Torah stands higher than Tefillah. And this is Rabbi Shua ben Levi's opinion. And he is Chaylik and Rabbi Yechanan, who holds that a Beis HaKnesses and Mokum Tefillah stands higher. So the Maskan is, like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses, Mutar La Soysoy Beis HaMedrash, can be turned into a Beis HaMedrash. Continues the Gemara. Where do we find this machlekes between these two Amiraim? Darash Bar Kapara. My Dichsev, he explained the Pasuk, which says, Vayisrif es Beis Hashem. This was Nebuzaradan. So he burnt the entire city. Beis Hashem, Ves Beis HaMelech, Ves Kol Bati Yushalai, Ves Kol Beis Godol Sarav Beish. What are all these edifices? What are these buildings that he's speaking about? So Beis Hashem, of course, a Beis HaMikdash. He burnt a Beis HaMikdash. When we say he burnt Beis HaMelech, Elu Pal Tevin Shemelech, the palaces of the king. Ves Kol Bati Yerushalayim, Kimashmon, simply speaking, the houses of Yerushalayim. The last one on the list is this Bayis Godel. Ves Kol Bayis Godel Sarav Beish. He burnt this large home, this Bayis Godel, this important structure. What is that? A machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Levi. Chadama 1 explains, Mokim Shemegadlim by Torah. It's a Beis HaMedrash where they grow in learning, they are Mechadish Chidush Torah. So Bayis Godel is a Beis HaMedrash. Chadama, the other one explains, that Mokim Shemegadlim by Tefillah is what we're referring to when we say Bayis Godel, a place where they grow in Tefillah. Mandamar Torah. Why does he maintain its Torah? So we find Lashon Gedula, greatness, growth, in reference to Torah. The other sheet holds, by his Godel, the house of prayer, the house of Tefillah. He wanted to know all the great things that Elisha did, Asher Asa Elisha. And we know that Elisha's accomplishments were precipitated through Tefillah. Elisha David Barachmi David. He aroused Rachmanis through Tefillah. So the Lashon Gedolos is referring to Tefillah accomplishment. So Bayis Godel can be referring either to Torah or to Tefillah. Rabbi Yechim Shumalevi Avad Machlaikis. Which one are we referring to? Which one stands higher? Which one do we presume the Pasuk is referring to? What's considered the Mokum Godel? What's sort of greater than the other? One says Torah, one says Tefillah. You know, the Shem Shmuel explains, the Machloek is as follows. He says, it depends on your perspective. He says, Tefillah brings down Hashem's bracha into this world. Beli gvul, unlimited bracha. Megadlin by Tefillah, bringing down the Shef into this world. The other sheet holds, Megadlin by Torah. Torah elevates a person, connects them to the higher realms, to the spiritual domain of Shemayim, of Hashem, connects him upstairs. That's what Torah does. So Torah elevates, Tefillah brings down Shef into this world. What's the focal point? What stands higher? Elevation, bringing ourselves up to Hashem, or bringing down Shefa and whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish in this world? So that seems to be the machlokes between these two shittas. Which one stands higher? Which one should we assume the Pasuk is referring to? Gedula is the Gedula of Torah, which has that unlimited capacity to elevate, to spiritualize, to be Makasha, a person upstairs, or is it Tefillah, which accomplishes its accomplishment down here? It says the more to Stein the Rabbi Shimon Levi with the Amar, we can prove that it was Rabbi Shimon Levi who said, who the Amar Mokem Shemegadlin by Torah, that Torah stands higher. Dover Shimon Levi. Oh, our Gemara. Beis HaKnesses, Mutala Soyse Beis HaMedrash. You can turn Beis HaKnesses into Beis HaMedrash. Apparently, Torah stands higher. Shema Mino, this is a good raya. In fact, the Gemara Shabbos says that as great as tefillah is, as vital as tefillah is, but it's considered Chayei Shah. It's for the moment. It's to enhance our life in this world. But Torah is called Chayei Olam, eternity. It sustains us for eternity. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah, where we learned, Aval Machra Torah Leichusfar. The concept in the Mishnah was as follows. Malin B'Kodesh Vein Muridin. You go up. You travel upwards. You upgrade in matters of Kedusha. So you go into Selah. Tanakh, you're going to buy a Sefer Torah. Anach, you buy a Sefer Torah, etc. But don't go down. When you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't purchase something which is considered lower, lesser in Kedusha. Iboilu, the Bnei Yeshiva, had the following question. What about equals? Mao limkar Sefer Torah yashin. So they have an old Sefer Torah. They want to upgrade it. Can they sell it likach boi chadash to purchase a new Sefer Torah? There's nothing wrong with the Sefer Torah. It's still fit for use. They want to upgrade. So here we have two things on equal footing. The same Kedusha. Can you do that? Can you exchange one for the other? What's the Shaila? Kivan delay malili. Also, perhaps you would think that since you're not upgrading, not going up, you're not being mekayim malin bekodesh, you can't do it. Or perhaps you can say, kivan deleka leluy, since you can't upgrade it, iluy achrina, to another level. You can't go upwards. You're on top of the pyramid. The Sefer Torah is on the highest level. Shapir dami, then it's okay. So basically, the crux of the shaila is there are two separate concerns. There's malin bekodesh, and then there's ein murid. Here you have one without the other. You're not being married, you're not going down, you're not downgrading. You're staying on the same level of Kedusha, but you're not going up. Is that acceptable or not? Toshma, listen to this raya. Mishnah says, Aval Machru Torah, if they sell a Sefer Torah, Lo Yikhu Sfarim, you can't purchase Nevi'im Ksuvim. End quote. Let's make a diuk. Sfarim Udaloi, you can't go down to the next level. HaTorah b'Torah Shapir Dami. If you want to stick to the same level, Torah for another Torah, that's okay. Must listen to the Evid. You know what? Our Mishnah is speaking after the fact. They sold the Sefer Torah. What should you do with it? Okay, so take the money, buy another Torah. Kikam v'boidlan l'chatchila. Our question is, initially, should we allow this process to take place? Can we sell a Sefer Torah? To apply the money for another Sefer Torah? That's the Shaila. We're not sure about that. Toshma, let's bring another Raya from a Bryce. Goyle in the Sefer Torah, you can be goyle, you can turn the Sefer Torah, you can handle Sefer Torah, but mitpachos chumash, using the mantle, the material used to wrap a chumash. A chumash is a fifth of a Sefer Torah. It wasn't a printed chumash, it was a scroll chumash, but it was a fifth. It was one sefer. Chumash is chumash, a fifth. So it has a lesser kedusha than a Sefer Torah. So you can upgrade, you can take the material serving a chumash and apply it to the Sefer Torah. And likewise, you can handle the chumash with mitpachas nevi'im using material used for nevi'im, because it's an upgrade. Mitpachas nevi'im uksuvim. Aval, but don't downgrade. Avaloi nevi'im uksuvim mitpachas chumashin. You can't apply the mitpachas used for a chumash to a nevi'im uksuvim, because you're going down in madrega. Avaloi chumashin. You can't use material of a Sefer Torah for the Chumash. End quote. Katonimius. In any case, what does the Brisa say? Goylim Sefer Torah b'mitpachus Chumash. You may be goylim Sefer Torah using material from a Chumash. Apparently, mitpachus Chumash in. That's only because you're upgrading. You're going up a notch. You're taking something from a Chumash and serving a Sefer Torah. So that's allowed. Malin Makodesh. But mitpachis sefer Torah loy. But if you would take a mantle from a fellow sefer Torah, you couldn't apply it to the sefer Torah. You're not allowed to, even if they're both on equal footing. So apparently, equal for equal doesn't work. Aim a sefer. Let's move on to the sefer of the Braisa, where it says v'loy chumashin b'mitpachis sefer Torah. You can't handle a chumash using the mitpachis of a sefer Torah because you're downgrading. So only downgrading is a problem. But if it's of equal value, apparently it's okay. So we have a diuk in the other way, the other direction. Ha Torah b'Torah Shabbat Dami, but to take a bit pachas from one Torah, use it for the other, that's okay. As long as you don't go down, you're fine. So apparently, if you're not going down, as long as you're avoiding that slide downward, it's okay, even though you're not going upward. So in any case, we have conflicting implications. First part of the brayse is mashma, that it's not fine. Second part of the brayse is mashma, it is fine. Apparently you can't make a diik from here, because we're not sure which one is accurate and which one is just on account of the other. Right? One lashon is accurate, and one lashon was just to match the other lashon in the brayse. We're not sure which one is what. We don't know which one is the primary message of the brayse, and therefore we can't conclude anything. Tashma, let's bring another raya. From a Tosefta, which says as follows. Manichan sefer Torah al gabi Torah. One can place a sefer Torah on top of another one. V'Torah al gabi chamoshin. Torah on top of a chumash. V'chamoshin al gabi nevim uksuvim. But not the other way around. Avaloi nevim uksuvim al gabi chamoshin. You can't take a nach and put it on a chumash, because it's part of the actual Torah. It stands higher than nach. Avaloi chamoshin al gabi Torah. Nor can you take a chumash and place it on a Torah which has a higher level of kedusha. So what do you see from here? You can take one Torah and put it on the other, because they're both of equal value. Hanocha ka'amras. We're speaking about placement. That's different. Shani hanocha d'li efshar. It's impossible otherwise. You know, at times the Aron Kodesh is filled with Sefer Torah. You have to place one on the other. We can't impose such a restriction. D'li temhachi, because otherwise, if you're not going to agree to this concept that when it's circumstantially difficult, we allow it. Michrach hechikar chinam. How do you ever wrap the sections of a Sefer Torah around each other? How do you ever close a Sefer Torah? V'koyosev dapa chaveri. How can you wrap these sections over the other? One page, so to speak, one section is going to be sitting on the other one. It's just inevitable, right? Elo kivin le'ef shashari. Apparently, because there's no other way to do it, so it's mutter. Hachanam here as well, in the Aron HaKodesh, given like Yashashari. For lack of a better option, it's mutter. But in our case, to sell a Sefer Torah, to buy another one, who says that's mutter? Tashma, let's bring another right. Dama Rabba Barbachan, or Rabbi Yechon. Vishum Rabbi Shimon Megamliel. Layim kar adam Sefer Torah Yashin. Likach bechadesh. One should not sell an old Sefer Torah in order to purchase a new one. Here we go. Pretty clear halacha. You don't exchange one Sefer Torah for the other. No, Hasam Shem Pshius. There's an additional concern of negligence. Perhaps I'll sell the old one and decide, I have better use for this money than buying a new Torah Chas V'Shalom. I'm not going to buy a new Torah. So over there, you shouldn't do it. It's not advisable. We don't allow it. Kikar Minan, our question applies to a case where that concern doesn't apply. Kigoin, the ksiv, or manach, you have a Sefer Torah written, and already, lifruki, ready to be purchased. All you need is to give him the credit card. So the question here is, my, can you do that? There's no pshia. It's going to be bought immediately. Can I sell one to pay for the other one? Toshma, let's bring another right. D'omar b'yechanan mishun rabbi mir. Ein meichron Sefer Torah. Elam, lil meiter. The only reason to sell a Sefer Torah is in order to support oneself when he's learning. Release the issue or to pay for wedding expenses. Shema mina. This is a clear raya. A Torah, but Torah shaper dami. If one is allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for these two purposes, to support himself when he learns Torah, to pay for his wedding expenses, apparently, you're allowing Torah to be exchanged for Torah. You're selling a Sefer Torah to support yourself while you're learning. Torah and Torah go together. So you can sell a Torah to buy another Torah. You don't see a difference. Says Gemara, no. Perhaps here it's different. Dilma. Shani limud. Learning Torah is greater. It's greater, so to speak, than the Torah itself. Shalimud maybe de masa. Learning brings to practical observance of Torah. And that's the tachos of Torah. So certainly you can sell the Torah to support oneself while he's learning. But you can't necessarily draw from here that you can sell one Torah for the sake of another Torah. What about Isha? To support, to pay for wedding expenses. Isha Nami here as well. It stands higher than other mitzvahs. Hashem didn't create the world to have it remain desolate. L'shevis yitzara, it should be inhabited. So that's the tachlis habriyah. And therefore, you can sell a sefer Torah for these purposes. I will Torah b'Torah leiva, perhaps to sell a Torah to buy another one, just to upgrade the quality. We're speaking that it's kosher, it's fit for use. So l'chatchila, of course, you have funds set aside to buy a sefer Torah. You buy the best, nicest and the best, but you have the sefer Torah. Who allows you to go sell this one to buy another one? So we leave it as a question mark, and the price can bring the chumrah. You're not meant to sell a Torah to purchase another one. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a price. Lo yimko adam sefer Torah. A person should never sell his sefer Torah. Afal b'shein etzorach, even though perhaps he has no need for it. He has another one. Says Rashi, ishle acher. Don't let go of your sefer Torah. Perhaps it's bezoyin haTorah. You can't sell it. Yosir al kain. In addition, says Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Even if he's financially strapped, barely has what to eat. Umachar sefer Torah, and he went ahead and sold the sefer Torah. Or another example, Aibitai, or he sold his daughter, Loyalenu, sold her as a maidservant, as an amma. You should know, he's not going to have much gain from this deal. Einoy roya simen bracha lo'ilam. He won't see much success from that money. The Mishnah spoke about upgrading in matters of Kedusha and not downgrading. So let's say they sold a Beis HaKnesses. They can take the money and buy a Sefer Torah. Let's say there are some extra funds available. They have some change. V'chein g'moisrein, the same formula applies to leftover money. You have to upgrade it. Purchase something of higher value, of higher Kedusha. Amar Rava, v'yishon al-lashem mochur v'yisiru. Only applies when they sold something and have leftover funds. So they had a Beis HaKnesses and they bought a Sefer Torah, pay half the price, and look, all this money is sitting. You have to apply that money properly. Avol gavu. But let's say they made a collection to purchase a Sefer Torah. Vayisiru is leftover money. Mutar. That money can be applied for anything. There's no Kedusha there. Because all they did was designate the money. But they never actually applied Kedusha to that money. Esvi Abaye asks Abaye to Rav, how can you say that? Raisa says, When do we say that you're limited in what you can do with your money? When there was no a condition. They never set forth a condition, you know, we can do anything we want with this money. So then you're limited in your abilities. But let's say they made a condition. We're going to apply the money for anything. Then you're free to do anything you want with that money. Afilo l'duch susya muta, you could even use it for a duch susya, the Gemara later will explain, it's a courier, you can use it for any city expenses. That's the price. Now let's analyze the price. Hechidami, what are we speaking about? Ilei mashamachru v'yisiru, they sold some item that was kaddish. They sold a shul. And they have leftover money. Ki hisnu mayhavi. Conditioning has no effect whatsoever. The money is kaddish. So even if they made a condition, I'm going to use the money for anything, they're limited. They have to apply it to something Kaddish. Apparently, they collected. There's a new collection. We're buying a Sefer Torah, and there's leftover money. And what does the Brisa say? Tama dehisno. You can use the money for anything, but only because you made a Tanai, you conditioned it. L'chadchila. Hala hisno loy, but otherwise, if there was no condition set forth, you can't just divert the funds for any other purpose. It's a kasha on Rabbah who maintains that leftover collection money has no kedusha. Says the Gemara lo'ilam shemachar v'asiru. Bryce is actually speaking when they had an asset. They had a shul and they sold it. They used the funds to buy Sefer Torah, but there was some leftover money. The Bryce means like this: when are you limited in your abilities? When do you have to divert that money to Dover Kaddish? Shlehisnu Shiva Tuveya Ir. We had this yesterday, where it was not conducted, it was not conditioned by the seven city council members, but Ma'amad Anshi Ir, in the presence of the members of the community. So in that case, you're limited, you have to follow this formula. The money has Kaddish. Aval Hisnu Shiva Tuveya Ir. Ma'amad Anshi Ir, but the seven leaders of the community conducted the sale in the presence of their membership. And they conditioned it as such, that they will then take the funds and apply it anywhere. In that case, it loses its kedusha, because it's given to them, it's up to their discretion to direct the money to whatever they see fit. Afilu leduch susyo namimuto, you can apply even for this expense. Okay, so Rava stands firm. The concept of leftover money, in which case you're limited in your ability to spend it, only applies to leftover from a sale of a davar kodesh. But if it was just a collection, you have leftover money, you're free to use it as you see fit. Omle Abaye lahum rabbanim. So Abaye turned to this chacham dava masader masnisa kameder of sheshes. He was accustomed to presenting Mishnah's prices to Rav Sheshes, and he was an expert in this field. And he asked him, you know, I have a difficult word in the Braisa. Could you help me out? Mishmi alecha. Have you ever heard me Rav Sheshes? My duchsusya? Has Rav Sheshes ever explained to you this word duchsusya? Braisa says you can apply the money to duchsusya. What is that? Amaleis, he told me, yeah, sure. Hachem Rav Sheshes, I'll tell you. Rav Sheshes once explained to me, duchsusya is lashon of sus. Parasha the Masa, the fellow that rides around the town, he's the courier. So you can apply the money to pay his expenses. Amar Abaye, I learned from this story a great lesson. Hilkach, therefore, Haitzumen Rabban, Etamut Chacham de Shamalei Milsa. If he ever hears something, Velayada Pirusha is not sure what it means, what do you do? Li Shailo Kamei, the Shchiach Kamei de Rabban. He should present it to somebody who's hangs around the Chachamim, the Leyevsha, the Leishmile, bin Gavarabba. Because certainly, it's impossible that he wouldn't have heard Pshat. You spend your time around Chachamim, you understand what's going on, and as we find here, he asked him, and he told him, the Pshat Nuchsus. Omer B'yechanan, Mishur Rab Meir. Okay, onto the topic of Tzedak. B'nei Ha'ir, Shehochu L'Irecheris. So fellows coming from one town, and visiting this town, Uposko Lemstok. So visitors came to town and they made a Mishaberach and the Gabbai committed them to $1,000. Uposik Tztok. They committed to giving Tztok. Which city did they give it to? Their current location, or they take it back home. Noisen. They meant to hand it over to the Gabbai. It shouldn't appear like they're skirting their responsibilities and not fulfilling their commitment. So first they give it. Ukashin Boin, but when they leave town, they bring the money back home, and they supply their own poor people. That's their foremost responsibility. So they take it back home. Tanya, you'll find the same in a price. So people come to visit, and they were committed to tzedaka in this town. They hand it over. But when they leave, and they bring it back home. That applies to a rab. 10 people. They stand their own ground. But a yachid, an individual, he's bottled to the city that he visits. V'yachid sholach l'acheres u'paskol of tzedak, committed to tzedak tinas la'aniyah oseir. In that case, it's given to the locals. He's bottled to the city. He doesn't have this right to take the money back with him. There was a story involving Rav Huna, who was gozer tanisa. He established a fast day on account of a tzara. Oyla legabei Rav Chana bar Chaneloi, v'kol b'nei mas Rav Chana, and some of his townspeople came to visit Rav Huna's town. It was a day of Tanis, and they committed to tzedaka. Ramu alai with tzedaka, they committed to give tzedaka. V'yabu, and they handed it over. Kibo the mesi, who wanted to go back home, Amrulei, they turned to Rav Huna, and he says, Noisvolon mar, can we have it back? V'nezel, and we'll go v'nev farnes, but aniyei mas, and we'll supply will sustain our poor people back home. Amar Luis, he turned to them, Tanina, he said, listen to this price. Med v'mamur, when do we say that you take it back with you? B'she'en shem chever ir. When the city that you're in does not have an absolute authority. There's no Talmud Chacham, Rashi says, ha'mes asik b'tzorchei tzibur. Then you take the money back home with you. Because you committed, sure, but this is what you had in mind. I'll bring it back home. Aval yesh shem chavir. But if in the new town there's a Talmud Chacham looking after his city's needs, in that case, he says, Aruch HaShulchan, it's a bezoyan. It's a bazaar, cover that Torah. Once you give it, you don't take it back. Tinos and the Chevy, give it to him and you keep it there. The Koshkin, certainly in this case, Daniye Didi, my poor people, meaning the locals, Vididhu, and the poor people in your town, Alai Smicha, they actually depend on me for sustenance. I'm the Rav and the neighborhood and the province, and they all come to me for tzedakas. In any case, I look after them as well, so you're obligated to fulfill your commitment, leave the money here, and I'll look after it. Continues the Mishnah. Ein moichrin eshel rabim liyochad. We speak about selling a Beis HaKnesses. What about a Beis HaKnesses that had a large membership, and they want to sell it to an individual, a single person who's going to use it for himself? You can't do that. You're mitigating its kedusha. It's going to lose its status. It's going to be used by a yachin instead of a rab. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Amar loy. Chacham responded, Imken, if you're concerned about that, then even loss of membership should be concerned. Af loy meir gedoyla leir katana. What about it? It's a knesset that belongs to a large city, a large community. And perhaps they're next to a small town, and they decide to sell their shul to the town next door. Right? So there's going to be a drastic reduction in membership, according to you. That's a concern, because you're losing the numbers. You're losing the kedusha. You're downgrading the shul. Shapi kamali rabban rab meir. It seems like their argument was pretty strong. If you're worried about that, then be worried about numbers too. And that's not something that we're concerned with. We never find anywhere that there's a requirement to count the members before and after. So what does Rav Meir do with this argument? Answers the Gemara, very simple. For Rav Meir, he says like this, Meir gedol lir katana, going from a large community to a small one, that's not so drastic a change. Meikara kedusha, initially it was kadosh, it was used for a minyan, kadosh kedusha, hashtanam kedusha. Now as well, smaller membership, but they still can say kedusha, and kadosh is still a minyan, still 10 people. So that's okay. But meirabim liyachid, transferring from a rabbim to an individual, like a kedusha, you're losing a kedusha. Yochid doesn't have a minion, you can't say kaddish, a kedusha. It's called a downgrade, and that's not allowed. Rabbanan respond to that. Ikel mechash. If you're worried about this type of thing, kegavna nam ikel mechash, then losing membership is also a concern. The more people, the greater the honor of Hashem. So with that, we're not concerned. You'll have to sell it regardless. Now what happens to the shul when you sell it? The remainder holds, it remains a shul. It never loses its status. Chacham say, no. When you sell it properly, now the shul loses its kedusha. The kedusha, so to speak, gets transferred to the money. And the building becomes a non-kaddish structure. Ein meichin beis haknesses ela al tanai. The remainder says, the only way you can sell a beis haknesses is on condition. A conditional sale. Shem yirtzu yachziru. That if they wish, if they were able to redeem it, they will take it back. Divrei Rav Meir. Why? Explains Rashi, because otherwise, if it's going to be an absolute sale, it's derech bazoyin. It shows like you're giving up the shul. You don't care about the shul. So it's clear that according to Rav Meir, even after a sale, it remains kaddish, it's a beis haknesses. So the only way you can do it, sell it on condition. You can sell it an absolute sale, final sale, without the tanai that allows you to buy it back. And in fact, the Chacham say, once you sell it, it's no longer a shul. You can use it for anything, for any purpose, any function, except for four things, which are really excessively degrading to the former shul. Chutz ma'abod varm. You can buy it and use it for anything except for the following four things. Lemerchitz, the bathhouse. Lebursiki, to turn it into a tannery. Letvila, to use it for a makam tvila. Lebeis hamayim, going to one pshan rashi, a bathroom. For meir aglayim, another pshat is lekvisa, as a laundromat. So for anything except for these four. Rabbi Da'imer, he is lenient even further. He says, meichun oisa, l'shem chatzur. You know what, just sell it as a piece of property. Don't discuss functions and needs and future purpose, future functions. Just sell it as a piece of property. And let the buyer do what he wants. As long as you don't stipulate and discuss plans for the house, it's okay. Asks the Gemara, Oder Rav Meir, Hechi Dair Bo? According to Rav Meir, it's going to be a conditional sale. So until they rebuy it, how can the customer live in the house? How can the buyer use the house? Ha Havyula Ribis. Here's Ribis. It's a classic case of Ribis. Why is it Ribis? Very simple. So you're selling the property, $1 million. With a condition. You insert a clause into the contract. I can buy it back. A year later, you buy it back. So you return the money, and you get back the property. Who used the dwelling all along? The purchaser. Why did he live in it? Free of rent, free of charge. That's called ribis. He's deriving benefit because his money was sitting by me all along. Right? He paid me for the house, in this case the shul. I kept money, I held on to it for a year. And then I gave it back to him, I got back the property. The fact that he sat in there, free of charge, free of rent, the entire year, is ribis, because he derived benefit he had on now as a result of his money sitting by me. That's ribis. Oh, Rabbi Yechanan, that's not a problem. Why? Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amr. Rabbi Meir is following Rabbi Yehuda. The Amr tzad echad b'ribis mutter. It's a one-sided ribis. What does this mean? There are two mitigating factors here. This is not your classic ribis, which involves lending $100 on condition you're giving back $120. That's ribis. It's a loan with a predetermined ribis. Here, it's really a sale. Technically, it's a sale. So it's one-off. Firstly, it's not really a loan. It's a sale. Secondly, we're not entirely sure that you're going to get benefit from it. If I redeem it, if I take it back, then it turns out that the whole thing was really undone. And you had no all throughout that year because your money was sitting by me. So it's sad echad. It's a one-sided, it's a pending ribis situation on top of the fact that it's really a sale. It's a sale loan. So this is only a derabbanan, and even if it's a straight out ribis, but if it's a sale, then it's not really a deraisa. And especially if it's only tzad echad, if it's only a chance of turning into a situation where you benefit as the lender, and therefore it's mutter. That's shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Where do we find this? The sani. Hareisha yenoisha b'chaverimon. So Reuven was noisha b'chaver. He had a claim, a mana claim on Shimon, which means Shimon owed him mana, 100 coins, $100. Shimon says, you know what? I have to give you a collateral, a mashkin. I have a nice field. Let's make a deal. Here's the field. Hold on to it as a mashkin. And you know what? If I don't pay you by Hanukkah, the field is yours. Retroactively. So it turns out that this whole transaction is really a sale. It's a pending sale, so to speak. It's really a loan, but it might turn into a sale retroactively. So far it's legal. The question is, who's going to eat the peiros all along? Who's going to derive benefit from this field between now and Hanukkah, while it's still in the pending state? Bezman sham meicher eichel peiros mutter. When the seller is involved in eating the peiros, meaning the borrower, Shimon, that's perfectly fine. Because Reuven, the lender, derived no benefit. Lekeach echel peiros asu. But if the lekeach, the buyer, in this case, Reuven, the lender, who is technically the potential buyer of this field, he eats the peiros all along, it's a problem. Why? Because if it turns out that Shimon put his hands on funds and he was able to redeem the field, the mechar was never realized, right? So all it really was just a plain loan with a collateral, which is fine, which is legal, but Reuven the Malva, the lender, ate peiros all along, from now till Hanukkah. He derived benefit on account of his loan. That's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, no. Afilu lo'ikeich echel peiros mutter. Even if the purchaser, the buyer, in this case the Malva, the lender, Reuven, who has possession of this field, he's the one engaging in achilas peres, it's fine. Why? Because firstly, he's holding on to it because it's a potential sale. As a tzura of a mecher, right? It's a pending sale. That's firstly. And secondly, we don't even know for sure that what he's eating is ribis. If it turns out that he can't afford to redeem his field, if Shimon is stuck and he lets Reuben keep the field, it was his retroactively from the time of love alone. From now, from today. It's a retroactive sale. In which case, he's fully entitled to the fruit. I bought your field, why shouldn't I eat the fruit? So although there's a chance here, atzad echad, is a chance that he's going to redeem the field, in which case the sale never went through. It was just a plain loan with a collateral. And in that case, you can't have a no, it's ribis. And it turns out that the peres that Reuven, the malva, ate all along was something extra, a bonus that he got due to this loan. It's sadechad the ribis, not smuter. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, I'll prove it with a story. Maaser, bebaisis ben zayne, that was his name, he was the borrower. He did this very transaction upon the instructions of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And guess what? You know who's eating the fruit all along? The purchaser, the lender. Apparently it's fine. Amrulay Chacham responded, no, Misham Rai, how do you bring the Rai from there? He got it all wrong. Actually, it was the Meicher who had the Paris in that case. The seller, the borrower, Baisis ben Zoynin. That's fine. Rather than Lekeach. So they disputed the facts. In any case, my Binaya, so what's the point of Machlekes here? What is the point of contention? What is the halachic formula that we're dealing with? Tzad Echad v'ribis ikibinai. The question is whether Tzad Echad is legal or not. When you have a potential ribis coming about, it's not preset, it's not predetermined, it's not pre-planned, it may or may not turn into ribis. And again, we're speaking about within the context of a sale. So it's already only the rabban. And on top of that, it's only a chance of him benefiting from the transaction. Mar savar tzad echad ribis mutter. Rabbi Yehuda maintained it's not a concern. Or mar savar the rabban hold tzad echad ribis aser is a concern. And that's the teretz of our kasha. Back to our mishnah. You sell a shul with a conditional sale, I might get it back, and the purchaser is living there all along, free, rent-free. When I get it back, it turns out that he sat in there free of charge all along because I was holding onto his money. Isn't that ribis? No, it's sadechad ribis is mut. Rava Amar, he has another pshat in the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban. The kuliyam, everybody agrees, sadechad ribis aser. Of course, if you benefit, even only by chance, sadechad, that's also a problem. So what's the discussion there? What does Rabbi Yehuda allow? If you hold on to the fruit, of course it's a problem. We're speaking where the lender gets back the fruit. If it turns out that he's going to redeem the field, he gets back all the fruit that the lender ate all along. So you allow the lender to sit and have the fruit. Just in case, it turns out that this sale will go through. If the borrower can't afford to get back his field, so by Hanukkah time we'll decide, we'll see what happens, and he gets the field going forward, and not just going forward, retroactively. So that's why he has the fruit. But if it so should turn out that the loiva is able to redeem the field, he will return the peres to the loiva. So it's ribis amnas lach. So that's the shayla. That's all Rabbi Yehuda's matter. He wasn't matter the malva to hold on to the fruit for all time. Unless the sale goes through, but otherwise he has to return it. Mar sova ribis amnas lachs and mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, if you can return the ribis, that's okay. Mar sova asr cham don't allow it. Ritva explains, bottom line is it looks like you're taking ribis, we don't allow it. And according to Rava, that's the case in our Mishnah as well. According to Rameh, you sell the Beis HaKnesses al tznai. That you can redeem it. If it ends up being redeemed, the purchaser has to go ahead and pay back rent for the entire time he spent in this Beis HaKnesses. it's coming to your ribbis, amas lahachshir. He gives it back. So although, for the time being, you're sitting in a place free of charge, it appears perhaps like a potential ribbis, that's okay as long as you make up for it. At the end of the day, you pay up all the missing rent. That's fine. In accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, ribbis amnas lahachshir is mutter. Zakti Gemara, Chacham Aymrim, Moichrin Oisei Mim Kailam, Amr Vidam Shmuel, Mutter La Adam Lahashtin Mayim, a person could shed water, Besoich Dalad Amish Al Tfilam, even if it's within Dalad Amis, where a person may have davened. So typically we say that the Makam Tfilah encompasses four Amis, that's why you don't walk across a person who's davening. Dalad Amish Al Tfilah has special significance as the Makam Tfilah. A person davened right here, still, after a while, Hashtonas Mayim is Mutter, there is no Kedusha to this Makam, even though it was a place where somebody davened. Amar Rav Yehi said, "Maikel Mashmal, what's your chiddush? Tanina, you have it in our Mishnah." Rabbi Doimer, Moichrin, Oyisel L'shem Chatzer, could take a base of Knesses, where people daven for many years, and sell it as a piece of property. Lekech Mashir Tiyasa, and let the Lekech do whatever he wants with it. Even a Makam Beis Akisei, Afilu Rabbanu Leke Amri, and even the Rabbanu who don't allow the Beis Knesses to be converted to a Makam Beis Hamayim. That's only a Beis HaKnesses, the Kviya Kedusha, a Beis HaKnesses, a permanent Makam Kedusha, a set Makam Tvila, or Machmer, it's a Bezoin. Aval Dal Damas, Le Kviya Kedusha Tayu. Why? But just a random place that person happened to daven. It doesn't have Kviya, it doesn't have Kviya's Kedusha, that can be used for any purpose. So, he sort of was asking, well, what's your Chiddush? We have it in the Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Toni Tana. There was a Talmud Chacham who used to present brises, and he presented the following brise to Rav Nachman. Hamespalel, when one is finished davening, he completes his Shemini Esrei. Marcha gdal da'amas amashin. He has to shed water, so he has to distance himself. He has to go four amas away from the Makam Tefillah and take care of himself over there. And likewise, v'hamashin, if one tend to his needs, marcha gdal da'amas amespalel. He has to distance himself four amis and then do his tefillah. So two separate halachas. Amalei. So Rav Nachman responds, Bishleim ha-mashtin, I understand your second halacha, that after being mashtin, you have to be marchik dal damas mespal. You know why? Because you can't do tefillah in a makim, which is unclean, tanina. Kama yarchik mehenu menatzoy, this is a Mishnah brachis. How far do you have to keep away from miraglaim and soya dal damas? Of course. That makes sense. But what about your first halacha? Ela mespalel, marchik dalad amas amashtin. Why does he have to move four amas away from his makam tefillah to be mashtin? Lomali. Ihachi, in fact, if you're going to require that, then you know what's going to happen? Kadishtinu lekulu shvili de nardo. It's inevitable that throughout the entire nardo, all the alleyways, somewhere, sometime, people daven there. Right, so according to you, the entire city is Kaddish and is unsuitable for Hashtonas Mayim. Oh, so he didn't agree with this halacha. He held that just because a person happened to be mespalel a makam doesn't give it kedusha, like the Gemara said before. Tani Yisha, rather revise your brisa. Instead of saying that you have to be marchik Yisha, he has to wait, he has to delay. So let's understand the brayse again. Bishlim emashtin yishe k'dil hilch dal amis. So if a person shed water, he has to wait. Let's say it takes, how long does it take to walk 4 amis? 3 seconds, 4 seconds. You have to wait that amount of time after Hashtonas Mayim, and then daven. Why? Misham netzoyt says, we're concerned about droplets that are on his clothing, on his feet. So you have to give it enough time to dry up. Ela mespalel. What about the other halach? After tefillah, yishhek de hilch dal damas. He has to wait this amount of time and then go be mashed. Normally, what's the point of doing that? Why is that required? Omar of Ashi, I'll tell you why. Shekol dal damas. Because within this short time period it takes to walk dal damas after tefillah, tefillah also is tura befiv. You know, he's still on the tefillah mode. V'ruchushe marachshen sevvasa, and his lips are still mumbling along. He's still into his tefillah. He has to give himself a chance to calm down, wait a couple of seconds, and then when he's completely finished his tefillah, he can tend to his needs. Zalfon Sim, Shalu Talmidov is Rabbi Zakkai. Rabbi Zakkai's Talmidim ask him, "Beme herachta yam?" He was zeicha to longevity. And what schus, what merit? Were you zeicha to arichus yam? Amar Lehem, he tells him, "You know what? I have some ideas." You know, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was asked the same question. He said, "Beme herachta yam?" We find the shayla in the Gemara. He's to ask the Rebbeim, "And what schus were you zeicha to arichus yam?" Apparently, the person's meant to know, so they asked him, "Beme herachta yam?" You know what he answered? He says, "I'm not sure. I can't tell you with certainty why exactly, what's chus, but I'll tell you one thing. All throughout my life, I never spoke a lie. Never spoke a word which was untrue." His sefer is called Emes Liyakov. So Emes brings to Arichus Yom. Malach HaMavos, he lives on Sheker. So Emes brought Arichus Yom. In any case, they asked Rabbi Zakkai. Amal Emsi tells them, "Miyamad yishtanti mayim b'toich da'ad amashol tefillah." I was machmer. I would be careful to walk away from the makam tefillah, even a temporary makam tefillah. I would distance myself 4 amos, then tend to my needs. Although it's not halachically required, as we concluded earlier, but he was machmer out of respect to the makam tefillah. Number two, v'loy kinisi shem l'chaveray. I never applied a nickname to my friend. And Tosfos says, "Afilu kine deloy habignai," even if it's not a degrading nickname. You know, some of Farshim learned that actually spelling out a person's name properly, instead of just a short Eliyahu, it adds chiyus to that person. It brings chiyus to his neshama. Chaim Kanievsky is very makbid on that. I once went to him with my son. He says, "What's your name?" So my son says, "Shlaimi." So Reb Chaim turns to him and he says, "What a smirk." He said, "Shlaima." So perhaps based on this Gemara, you meant to enunciate a person's name which really reflects the essence of his neshama and brings chiyus to his neshama. So mida keneged mida, he applied chiyus to other people, he got longevity. I was always careful not to neglect the proper fulfillment of Kiddush, to have wine for Kiddush. In fact, I had an older mother. It so happens that once she sold her kerchief or cap, to procure wine for my Kiddush. Tana, we learned in the Brayse, so what was her schar when she passed away? She left over 300 barrels of wine as a schar. For being meticulous in this mitzvah, Tosfos brings the Gemara in Shabbos, a person zor b'kiddush hayayim, zoicha u'malam loy garbi yayin, zoicha to barrel fills of wine. In fact, Shemais Hu, Rabbi Zakkai himself, passed away, hinech lebonav, he left over for his children, shleishes alavim, tenfold, shleishes alavim garbi yayin, 3,000 barrels of wine, due to his being meticulous in the mitzvah of kiddush hayayim. Rav Huna, hava osa ris, Rav Huna was tied with this sort of makeshift band, some sort of belt, some sort of grass instead of a proper belt. The koy kamei the Rav, and standing in front of Rav. Amar leis, Rav asks him, "Hi, what's going on with the belt?" Amar leis, Rav Huna tells him, "Lehavali kedusha." The Bach says, "Lehavali chamer le kedusha." I didn't have wine for kedusha. Mashkante le miyanoi, and I gave away the belt as a the collateral as a mashkin vasoy be kedusha to procure wine for kedush. That's what I did. Amar Leim, so Rav was impressed and he said, "Hey, Rav, it should be the will of Hashem. The tito and b'shiroi should be stuffed up, covered up with silk. Begadim, you should have such bracha and wealth in your home. You gave up your baguette for Kiddush. Midah k'negedin, Hashem should supply you with an abundance of bracha in terms of clothing and chashev clothing." In fact, ki ichlal, Rabba Bray, when Rav's son, whose name was Rabba, got married. So what happened was like this. Rav Huna, the father of Huna, inish gutzahava, he was a short person. Gona Puri went to sleep on the bed. Asian banse vikalsi, after the wedding, his daughters and his daughter-in-laws came by, and not realizing that Rav Huna was lying on the bed, shalchan vishadya manayola, they were getting dressed, they took off their gowns, and they threw their silk clothing on him, until he was overloaded, stuffed up with these silk clothing. So his family did experience wealth as per Rav's bracha. There was a story with Ruchan Kanievsky that he, when he was a youngster learning in a shul in Russia, he had a place to sleep in a certain apartment. And one day a poor boy came by and he didn't have a place to sleep. So the stipler, Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, was a kind-hearted person. He says, "Listen, I don't need it. I'll be okay. You can all sleep in my bed." So the boy took him up on the offer. So where did he sleep that night? He went to sleep on the bench. And the next morning, the Oilam came to shul. They sat down early. It was sick and it was still dark. They didn't really see clearly. And they used to have the minute to throw their coats. They didn't have a proper coat rack. And they used to pile it up on this bench, not realizing that he was lying there. Everybody took off their coats and tossed it onto the bench. And he was piled up with coats. And he said that he never in his life had such a geshmak, a night's sleep, a warm night's sleep like he had that night. In any case, Rav Huna was dumped with these begadim, and he experienced bracha and wealth in his mishpacha due to Rav's bracha. Shama Rav, and Rav heard that his bracha came about the ikvad. He was sort of upset. Why? Amar, he said to Rav Huna, "My time, why? Lo yamrasli. When I give you that bracha that you should experience wealth, you didn't respond to me. You should have said v'chein lamar. The same thing should happen to you." So Rav saw that his bracha had value. Now he was upset that Rav Huna didn't apply it back to him. Shol Talmidav Esr Belezav Neshamor. They asked Rav Belezav, "Amerach Yamim, what was your trick? What was your schus for Richas Yamim?" Amar Lami tells him like this: "Miyomai, throughout my lifetime, lo esise kapandraya lebeis." Medrash, Lebeis HaKnesses, I never used the shul as a shortcut. V'loi pasati al Rosh Yam Kaddish. I never stepped over the heads of the community members. Rashi explains that the Talmidim would sit on the floor, and one passing by, it would appear like he's walking over them. So I was careful. When everybody was sitting, I was careful not to walk near them, in which case it would appear like I'm presenting in a condescending manner. Whenever I did Nesias Kapayim, I made sure to recite the bracha, Bracha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Shekid Shanduk Kedushas Shel Aaron, etc. The question is, isn't that al pi din? Isn't that required for every kohen? So some mekadeik from Al Gemara that not necessarily the brachas kehanim isn't necessarily required, and he was machmer. Some actually say that we're speaking about the second time around. He already did Brichas Kainim, so the second time around, the same day, perhaps does not require a bracha, and he was makbid to have the bracha. Some learn that he's referring to the bracha that the kohen adds after Brichas Kainim. Yiras Hashem, he should make it effective, an effective bracha, it should carry bracha, and mazel, and kol Yisrael shall have from it. So that extra bracha, he was careful to add to his Brichas Kainim, therefore he was zeicha to bracha from Hashem, Arichas Yamim. Okay, so what do we learn today? We started with Bayis Gadol. What is Bayis Gadol? Some say Beis HaKnesses, some say Beis HaMedrash. Rishon Levi holds it's a Beis HaMedrash. In fact, he holds the Beis HaKnesses can be transformed into the Beis HaMedrash, where we learn Torah, which stands higher than a Makom Tefillah. Selling a Sefer Torah is only Mutar Lulmay Torah V'Lisa Isha. What about in order to buy a better Sefer Torah? We left it off in a question mark. Leftover monies as well have to be have to follow the same guidelines as the initial funds, have to be applied to a higher Kedusha. Rava adds, but that's only when they actually sold an existing property or a Davar Kaddish, but if it was just a collection and left over from that, that can be sent anywhere. Likewise, if the Shiva Tuvei Ir are involved in the sale, the Kedusha leaves the money. So fellows are visiting town and they commit to Tzedakah. They have to commit, give it over, but then when they come back home, they bring it with them, unless there's a Chever Ir, a Rav, in charge, looking after the tzedakah fund, then they leave it with him. By a yachid who's visiting, he leaves the money in town. Selling a Beis HaKnesses from a rabbi to a yachid according to a mayor is a problem, should not be done. According to Rabban, it's okay. According to a mayor, a Beis HaKnesses is only sold on condition. Al tanai that he can rebuy it. What about using the Beis HaKnesses up until that point? Isn't it ribis? If the purchaser is using the shul free of charge, so we have two terutzim. Either tzad echad ribis is mutar, it's not an absolute ribis, only a pending ribis, on a chance, especially we're speaking about a purchase arrangement, which is the rabbanon to begin with, or we're speaking that the fellow living there will actually make up and pay back rent, And that's why it's allowed. So Rameya says it can only be a conditional sale. Rabbanan say sell it off as long as the buyer commits not to use it for really degrading functions. Rabita says he can sell it just as a piece of property and have him do what he wants. We learned that a person should make a shahiyah, a pause between mashtin mayim and mispalel, and likewise between mispalel and mashtin mayim, because he's on the tefillah mode. We don't want things to get mixed up. There's a makam to be machmer, not to be mashtin mayim toich dal damash al tefillah. Of course, it's only a chumrah. And we ended off with several discussions regarding the schus that brings about arichas yamim. Maybe all be zeicha, tabracha v'atzlocha, and arichas yamim, in Torah, in avoida, gilz chasadim, amen.